Long past the hour for quitting labour, amid the smoke-filled haze of the south gate, the after-lodge crew continues to linger in the rubbish of the temple, under the watchful eyes of Right Worshipful Grand Censor Bob. Not recognised nor endorsed by any grand or subordinate lodge of regular masons, irregular masons, co-masons, Canadian masons, or internet wannabe masons, they banter on as always. Puffing cigars, drinking stale coffee, making terrible jokes, studying agency law, spreading the intemperance and excesses of digital masonry, and generally disappointing all 7 of their podcast subscribers. Do yourself a favour and stop listening now. Only trolls and masochists dare to eavesdrop upon this after-lodge banter.
Go on real quick.
Welcome to episode 315 of the After Lodge podcast.
The lizard people are here.
This is After Lodge Harlan, fresh on the... I don't know. I was going to make a comment about being chased by the cloud of smoke, but then it turned into a cloud of Bruce's eyes and forehead floating in the darkness.
I don't even know what that was.
Chasing me home. So we haven't recorded in a while because everybody's been tripping or vacationing or doing whatever it is that we do in the summer. And tonight, of all nights, I decided to come back early, and everybody else is back too. So we have worshipless producer Bruce.
Good evening.
Who actually is a real person again, and not whatever that floating nether thing was.
Like a Minecraft
entity.
I have mass. I'm present.
Sir John.
Giggity, giggity.
Chuckles, who hasn't gone anywhere yet. He's getting ready to leave.
And you guys don't know what part of my body I'm rubbing.
You
can above the table, Chuck.
Take a few guesses.
Hands are up.
Doesn't mean you're not rubbing it.
Did you ever see a banana cleaner? You could have an automatic banana cleaner attached to your desk.
The man responsible for that sweet, sweet orange haze that we're all experiencing at the moment, our Canadian correspondent, Jamie.
Hello, everybody.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
Jamie Harlan told me it's your fault I can't breathe when I'm delivering my milk route.
Yeah.
Not directly. My smoke doesn't make it all the way down there, but I have to apologize.
Isn't it? Like, where do the particles go? They got to go somewhere.
When he told us he was going to smoke more tree than a forest fire, we thought it was like a figure of speech.
So he decided to smoke an entire continent.
At least half.
He took that as a challenge.
So, wow.
Yeah, I've been living in the Canada wildfire smoke for the past week. Took my kids up to South Haven, Michigan, because, you know, 8 months ago when we planned this, it seemed like a great idea because it's going to be the middle of summer. It's oppressively hot and humid, and you would never go south of Pennsylvania. So why not head up north to the Great Lakes where maybe it would be pleasant, a little cooler, good boating weather. So we left out and got up there, and it was quite nice. And then the storms came through on Monday, and well, they brought all the wildfire smoke. And also, like yesterday in the middle of the afternoon, it was 58 degrees and the wind was colder. And I thought I'd do another polar plunge into the lake, but the beach patrol was like out there in force, and they won't let anybody touch the water.
What's wrong with them?
Well, because it looked like an angry ocean for the past couple of days. I didn't think that the Great Lakes did that, but I guess they could. Like the waves are crashing over the pier, going out to the lighthouse. Like,
come see Superior, buddy.
I blame those rich idiots who like died in the submarine because they don't understand physics.
So, well, they didn't do that in the lake, Chuck.
Yeah.
No, but if there was any lake that could do it, it'd be Mish or probably Superior.
Thank you.
Well, there was a History Channel thing that was just on before I left where somebody was taking one of those recreational submarines down to look for some shipwreck in Lake Michigan. What was that about? I remember watching it, and then the next thing I know, there's like a real life one that blew up in the Titanic.
That's the Edmund. That's probably the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Nah.
The Edmund Fitzgerald.
Maybe.
Military ship.
But I did get to, I got to do my roadside attraction thing on the way up there. Made a little road trip out of it. Took my daughter. We stopped at a roadside show called Skellyville, which is in the back of this antique guy's place where he's collected all of these skeletons and like made this whole village of like antique cars and bikes and just built a shack and
filled it with dead people.
Oh,
these kind of things.
So are they you say excavated skeletons, or did he create them from like some of them
are like concrete sculpture ones. Some of them are like costume props. I think a couple of them are actually like from the time when you could buy human skeletons, like Harlan, back in the day.
A creepy guy thinks you're creepy. Just so you know, that's not good.
What?
The creepy guy thinks you're creepy.
It's not my place. It's this dude's place. Like
you took your daughter there.
Well, I took my son too, but he didn't want to get out of the car because he was napping. So
napping or scared? Did he have a self-preservation instinct that was good?
So then we walked into the antique store to talk to this guy, and I struck a nerve. Like he was a real friendly guy, and everything was going great. And then I asked something about American Pickers. And things went dark real fast.
Oh, no. They must have come to visit.
They're
all liked up here in the Midwest, I'm telling you.
He reminded me that he was doing this when they were still picking their asses and was very indignant about it. And after I said it, I realized my mistake. And I'm like,
F those guys.
Yeah, with their money and
the
camera.
The ornaments made out of human bones is pissed off about a bunch of guys who like do garbage picking. Shocking.
It's not like the collection's not skeletons. The collection is like this, he made a village of like antique stuff and then like staged skeletons around it. And it's this whole, it's a memento mori. Like that's why he did it. It's on
If I did that, I'd be in prison.
I'll find a website. He's got a webpage.
Okay, that sounds a little bit less creepy now. When you called it Skellyville and just said it was a bunch of skeletons.
Yeah, like, hold on. Oh, there it is. Yeah, Skellyville.net. So for those of you...
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Send the link to John. He can put it on the Facebook page so the one fan can go check it out.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you guys are rolling through along Lake Michigan on your way up into Michigan, check out Skellyville. Skellyville, as my daughter called it. But he's a super cool dude. And then he gave her like a skull sculpture... for surviving, like, you know, excuse to give a kid like a little trinket, and she thought it was like the coolest thing. It's like a little skull sculpture with whatever those flight goggles are.
You still lose. Oh, yeah. You still lose, Harlan. This is me with my kids, so you lose.
Roadside attraction. They're all like weird and odd. That's the whole point.
Yeah, you gotta stop. If you're doing a road trip, you gotta stop by the weird.
There's a difference between, look, Harlan, there's a difference between weird and Silence of the Lambs.
It's a very fine line when you're talking about roadside attractions.
Is it?
Yes. I went to the Mothman Museum. Yes.
Dude, that is the lamest thing ever. I am from Pittsburgh. Their statue and their thing, like, that thing is dumber than soup.
Yeah. It's the fun. I went to the Georgia Guidestones before they got terrorist bombed. Like, that was probably the creepiest one I've done.
Yeah, because it got terrorist bombed.
Well, this was way years back.
Two, 3 years ago, they've got blown.
But just, if you'd ever been there, like, it's really in the middle of
nowhere.
Like, Nowheresville, Georgia. You can hear the dueling banjos in the background. Like, it's...
actually played by alligators and not by people.
Yeah. I've been to a lot of weird things. There was the world.
Your wife said too.
West Point.
Well, that's less of a roadside attraction and more of a freak show. But,
your wife said the same thing.
She came to visit me. She would. Yeah, I'm sure she thought that too.
Good old Attica.
Anyway, I put the link in our Slack thing for you guys, but But he did it.
I pulled it up. We'll see.
Yeah, it, somewhere on the website, he described it as a memento mori. So I thought that meant that like he was a lodge brother, but I don't think he is.
Oh.
Because I was like, who else but a Mason would like call it that? But I guess.
Weird guys.
Yeah.
Martinist.
It was fun. And he gave my daughter like a some kind of fake currency that has this whole like Christian ministry description thing on it. Because the whole point is like
he's Jews for Jesus. He's Jews for Jesus.
No, he's just regular Christian like evangelist, which is fine.
No, it isn't.
He put together this cool collection of things. We can accept one of his flyers. Like that's fine. But yeah, check it out if anybody's going up that way or you know lives in Michigan. It is at the Pete and Son Lawn and Garden Supply. And yeah. Enjoy.
Right, now I'm opening up the
weather. That was sadly probably the more interesting thing because everything else kind of got ruined by the weather. We ended up leaving a day early and taking the kids to Indianapolis Children's Museum and then just going home.
There's a big Jesus statue there too. So yeah, I'm looking at their circa 19.
Yeah, I had to quickly scroll through.
Yeah, so the Jesus statue wasn't there. I think that's somewhere else.
They sensed the Hebrew coming and hit it.
Oh, maybe.
He wanted your money.
So he did have there were a lot of Charlton Heston Moses statues, like holding the tablets for your front lawn.
I'll take a 12-footer.
Yeah. I always look at statues like that, and I'm like, who? Do people actually put these like in their yard? Or I guess
no. They do. Can't confirm. Not my own, but can confirm.
There's a guy that makes huge statues of all different things. They had a concrete about 20 minutes away from where I'm at.
That's
in his yard. It's pretty
neat. What this was. And I get that, right? Like if it's something funny, like a giant ass chicken, right? Or whatever. Like it's amusing. I'm talking about like the replicas of the Ten Commandments or, praying Jesus or. Like those kind of like religious artifacts. I'm like, do you decorate your house with these? Not, I get like the church garden, but your house?
Yeah, that's a little bit too, yeah, for me anyway.
I'm a seminarian. That's a bit too much for me. Just saying, I'm all about the home team, but.
You don't need to put it out there like that.
Right.
So it's vacation talk. Also while I was gone, I stopped watching the news for my mental sanity. Cause I'm just hanging out with the kids and doing my thing.
Good idea.
I hear something on Slack, you guys talking about something in Moscow and I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. More stuff. I'll get to that later. You didn't impress upon me, John, with your Slack post that there was like a full-on like military revolution happening
for about 5 hot minutes.
Yeah. But when you sent it, like I was like, it's no big deal. I'll figure that out later. And then I was reading about it after the fact, and I was like, there was an armored column like rolling up the interstate to Moscow. Like what? Yep.
Arguably the most dangerous mercenary army on the planet.
Yeah, I just
turn around.
So next time when you like go for understatement,
well, that was all Chuck. I guess
I'm gonna have to pay more attention and follow up anyway because I
the Afterlodge yearly awards.
We have I didn't have the impression that it was that. I thought it was some other silly Russia thing.
But again, it was that for about 5 minutes, and then it.
Well, yeah, but that's. No, that's not the end of that story.
I mean, that's 5 more minutes than we've heard of ever anywhere in Russia, but.
That's just 50,000 experienced troops that have just decided to go away. There's a lot more than that. But again, these people aren't troops, and most of them are not.
Honestly, isn't that like how the history of Russia goes, though? It's just a recurring cycle of silly stuff, revolution, Silly stuff, silly stuff, revolution.
Pretty much.
Oh, we lost Chuck.
We lost Harlan.
No, you lost Chuck, because we were talking about Russia.
Oh. Yeah, he's got a clock out for about 5 minutes, so he doesn't shit can his clearance.
That's fine. I was getting ready to change subject, because I forgot.
Yeah.
We can't talk about it.
I was going to say, we were talking about vacations, and my trip wasn't a vacation. It was work-related. I will say this, and I said it before I got there, and I'll say it now that I'm back again. I f***ing hate Las Vegas.
Really?
I absolutely detest that town.
Is that where you met your wife?
No.
Oh.
I haven't been in Vegas in 20 years, and I'm very happy to remember.
And you still hate it?
Yes. Yes, I do. I hate it more now than I did before.
Wait, so you didn't go there?
I've been to Vegas twice before. It was in like 2002 and 2004.
Okay, so why do you hate it?
So keep in mind, not only am I a former flatfoot turned seminarian, I also have a wicked case of ADHD. And yeah, and you know, worked in a casino for two of my undergrad years in college as a blackjack dealer, so I got to see from the other side of the table. Yeah, last place for somebody like me to be. Lots of dinging, lots of lights, a lot of stupid shit happening.
Right. Too much stimulus.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah.
Like our whole team, because I went there for the SHRM conference, the Society of Human Resources Management, and we were in a pretty great little. We were in the Cosmopolitan, which is great. It was a nice hotel, good chow and everything. But like anytime I would have to go from where the hotel was to the strip on the other side of the building, I'd make sure to go up to the second floor because they only had the casino on the first floor, to go like over the casino and then down to like absolutely avoid every slot machine and everybody else possible. Oh yeah, and I'm a misanthrope and I hate people, so that really.
But that's where all the good sightseeing is.
I mean, there was a bit of that, like, but I mean, so on one night alone, like, we went to the conference, came back to the hotel, we all got together for dinner, and then a few of us decided to, like, once everybody started kind of falling out, we're like, hey, let's go to the bar over here, we'll have drinks, hang out, because my team's all pretty awesome, all the people I work with. I stepped outside for a smoke, and I cleared the doors, and I literally walked right into the middle of a domestic. Like, she's Wait. There, he's there.
You stepped outside for a smoke?
We can't smoke indoors in Minnesota, and so, like, I'm not used to, like, hey, I'll walk over by the slot machines and burn one. So, like, I grab my sticks and...
I mean, that's still a thing, right? Like, people are still smoking...
In the casino. Yeah, if you're on the casino floor, you can smoke, and, like, but, like...
What is the casino? I was there a couple years ago, and, like, I would get off the hotel elevator, and there was, like, ashtrays, like, in the little lobby... By the elevator.
Yeah, I think they've at least at the Cosmo, it seems to be truncated back to basically like the casino floor.
Hmm. I heard that there was a lot of stuff happening.
The closest casino to us, Harlan, pretty recently went from smoking wherever to a small designated area in one floor.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten that you could still smoke in there.
Yeah, our tribal casino's kind of done that for a while where it's... certain areas of the casino are smoking, certain areas aren't.
Damn. When the natives are going non-smoking, that's...
I say, yeah, when the natives tell you you can't use tobacco in their casino.
Right, I didn't think about
that. What about American spirits?
No, the traditional use, but yes.
But, and on the same night, I go out the other door instead of the doors on the strip. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that twice. And it's like 3 hours later. I go out to where all the cars and stuff pull up to drop people off, and there's like staff everywhere, and it's like... super clean, but it's like covered and in their indoor garage. And it took all of about 90 seconds before I had somebody who was either a thief, a hooker, or both stick to me like a wet t-shirt. That was charming.
You made eye contact.
No, I didn't. I didn't make eye contact. Until somebody suddenly went.
John is a professional at not making eye contact.
No, I'm good at not making eye contact and yet knowing exactly where you are.
Right.
So once you
make eye contact, they're coming for your cheeseburgers. Everybody knows that, John.
Can't have that.
Yeah, no. When she climbed up on me and told me, first thing was like, "You're very pretty."
I've seen it to somebody.
I mean, yeah, well, you know, it's like, no, I wake up with this face. I've seen this face, and that's not a word I'd use.
Yeah. Well, oh, you woke up with your face. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Touche.
Hmm.
Or are we sending signal flares back out to No Pants?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jamie is, but Jamie, the last time you sent out a signal flare,
we're still seeing it.
Well, you know, I'm being trying nice.
To signal so. The aliens.
Yeah. Well, we sent a record up, and, you know, we're still listening to records today, so that's a universal sound thing. The golden record.
Thank you, Carl Sagan.
Yeah. That being said, talking about records, that's a weird. They're always on my mind nowadays. Anyway, my turntable has a glass platter, and I put an LED light underneath it. Lights the whole platter from the bottom. Looks quite neat.
Oh, for your new turntable?
My turntable, yeah.
Nice.
So the next plan now is to get the spacing for the lines that, you know, when it turns, they actually sit still at the right speed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And put that on tape. You know what I mean? Measure it out and put it on tape and then put that around the glass edge of the turntable. Yeah, so it'll have little black lines that sit straight when it's turning at the right speed. Yeah.
You are a stoner. I'm very proud of you.
Well, you know, I could sit there and watch that all night while I'm listening to
suggest is, you know, old things.
He's just buying all the things from the 70s he didn't have the money to buy back then.
I was barely born. I mean, I'm old, but I'm not that old.
In his defense, I buy shit from the 20s and 50s I couldn't afford as a kid. So
that's fine. My boy to an arcade while we were up there, because again, the weather was shitty. So what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And I realized that he had never played a pinball machine before.
What?
Oh.
And he was really into some pinball, at least for as long as, you know, a 6-year-old's attention is going to last reasonably. And I thought, yeah, I guess we did have cooler toys back in the day in some ways. Because y'all got nothing like a pinball machine now. Your VR.
Virtual pinball, which, you know, it's kind of, but nowhere near. It's kind of, but not the same.
It doesn't have the right haptic situation. Like, there's something about a pinball machine when you hit those bumpers and they start clacking and like the the machine,
and every
like
time
you can feel it shaking.
Yeah, every time one of the pneumatic thing goes off, you still feel that little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah, and every one of them has a
game, at least.
Yeah, and every one of them has a slightly different feel when they go. You know what I mean? Like
He was very much into that, and so was I, for that matter, because I haven't played a pinball machine in a very long time, and now I kind of need to find one just because.
Okay.
I went over to see Megadeth last month. I guess I got a little bit to say. I went over to see Megadeth last month, but we went to, there was a record store right across the street from our hotel, and they had patches for a jacket, and I got a big Disturbed patch for my jacket and stuff, and it was a good time. But like, oh, there's, is that something from? Sorry, guys, I'm distracted.
No, he mentioned pinball, so I had to throw something in there.
Oh,
tuna.
But like that, when we went over, that the store was a record store, but there was attached to three other stores, and one of them had all these nostalgic toys and all this stuff. And the last one had about 13 pinball machines. So I just started popping money in. Oh, it was a good time.
Nice.
Yeah. I was supposed to be going to a different thing. Like, anyway, I skipped the other event just to play pinball. It just, you had to stop and play.
You sound like me at Grand Session this past weekend. I just skipped events so I could go back to the bar.
Well, the bar and pinball is a pretty, pretty even playing field. Yeah, yeah.
If they had pinball, I'd probably been playing the shit out of it.
I mean, ideally, you want both.
That's right. That's right.
What, a bar and pinball?
And pinball, yeah. Yeah, booze and pinball. Yeah. Not just one or the other.
I thought you were about to say Grand Session and pinball. Although, that would be entertaining, too.
Make it work.
I move to ping ding 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 ding.
Some a Knights Templar pinball.
Whoever has high scores. Master elect.
I'm sure there's a Knights Templar machine out there somewhere.
I'm going to have to find that now.
No, you can for it, talk your commandery into paying for it.
I wonder. Yeah, that'd be a Ooh, or a Masonic one out there somewhere.
Or a fundraiser for the honor guard.
Or, you know, you can make one.
I mean, sure.
You could make one. That's a good job.
It's not that I'm busy enough working on my car. Yeah, I'll throw it in a paintball machine. Yeah.
The electronics in those are
surprisingly simple, actually.
Yeah, they're not
all mechanical.
Well, you could get a one to start with, like a shell, and then just start, you know, taking the deck, redoing it. Right, you could still have all your mechanical parts and just start repainting, redoing, and changing its look.
Actually, there might be something to that, like some kind of Masonic themed pinball.
Yeah, if you had a base and just started changing all the decals and repainting it, you could change it to whatever you want it to be, right?
Well, I mean, landscaper Josh would mortgage his house for one of those.
Well, and I can make a Scottish Rite one and have one of the holes 33rd, but it's just slightly too small for the ball to actually get into.
Nice.
Oh, you're so close. Oh, that's too bad. Get out.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit. So, Harlan, I got a goat rope back in the line again. This past weekend was the Grand York, and I'm back into the Grand Commandery line.
Wait, really?
As an appointed officer, I committed to 1 year. I told him if I progressed in the tradition prevailing, which never does, but tradition prevailing, if I started there and worked my way back up, I'd be Grand Commander kid senior year in high school, and that's not happening.
Okay, so John, this is kind of like waking up in the morning with a really, really, really bad hangover and saying, I'm never going to drink again. You just started drinking again.
Here I am. the field of play is a little different now, thankfully, but yeah, I mean, the Grand Commander's in a pinch and he's a really great guy, so he's like, I really need you. I'm like, all right. 1 year. The only problem is the guy right after him is a guy on my honor guard who I've known forever, and if he asked me, I can't say no.
So you're going to get roped in.
If one way or another, I think it might end up happening, but...
He doesn't watch the show, right? Because if he does, he'll now know you won't be able to say no, and then you're really...
Oh, they all know that, because I've been stuck as chair of jurisprudence for like 4 years now and doing other stuff, and yeah, they know they know I'm an idiot.
So. You're something.
My ranting on the show got me kicked out of the line before. Maybe I can do it twice. That would save me some time.
It does. It's like doing a really poor job at something just so you're not asked to do the job again. That's kind of common in masonry as well.
Like a true government employee. That means you're across the border. You want me to what? Look at the time. Yeah, no.
You know, when you produce more and you get yelled at by your coworkers to stop producing more because you're making them look bad, like, that's a shitty thing too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just call that unions here.
Right.
Oh.
But see, in the King's Mail section of things, that's kind of the way it works as well, or the King's Milk, you know.
You said King's Mail.
I'm still not adjusted to saying the King's thing.
Yeah, it freaked me all up too, because you know
His Majesty's dairy is milk.
Just not. Yeah, His Majesty's milk. Yeah. So.
Sorry, I hear His Majesty, and I think of Elizabeth's dad.
you don't even think of the right His Majesty. Yeah, you think of. Oh. Let's go back 100 years.
I think of the current guy's granddad, who was a member of the craft.
It's terrible.
And yeah. He's not.
No, not that I know.
He's the first one of the boys not to, isn't it, or something like that?
The first non-affiliated guy to have a portrait in Masonic lodges all over the United Kingdom.
Well, that's why it took him so long.
Oh, sorry, lads over there, but this is why we hang George Washington up.
Yeah, at least our portrait guy was one of us.
And
well, none of us.
So what are the Masonic f***ers been afoot, boys?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I was waiting on Chuck to come back and tell me.
Well, Well, usually he's good because he's in Reddit, but there's the Reddit, whatever the hell Reddit's doing with the Reddit.
Oh, right. The Reddit blackout, which has been a whole other thing that we missed.
I don't know.
While I was gone.
I have a Reddit account.
I mean, the Afterlodge subreddit was going to go dark in solidarity, but the producer forgot his password, so.
My fifth password.
There's like six Bruce alts that are all admins on that page, and we can get into none of them.
But you know what? They all have really clever names.
They do.
Like Bruce 1, Bruce 2, yeah. AL Bruce 1, AL Bruce 2.
We're more creative than that. There were some threes and fours in there too.
A couple
of the 33rd.
No.
Three distinct nopes.
Three distinct nopes. Yeah. Oh my. So yeah, I found out something else interesting too this week, which is not Masonic. Oh, actually, let's do Masonic first. I forgot about that. Where else we're at. I know I complained about our shrine not being able to get insurance for our cars. We got that last month, so we can do our parades this year with our cars, which is kind of nice.
Did you guys finally call like Imperial down here in the States to like ask them who we go through?
Well, see, we used to go through our temple, and they are no longer providing it. So it took a little while to get someone that could find a place here that would take it on, because they're special. They're not classed as a vehicle, and they've got to be on the road, and right. So even though it's in a parade, and then the transportation, and so to get the right coverage for it was a little bit, but we got it now. So that's kind of nice to have, so the club can do our parades.
Yeah, pretty important.
I mean, it's not as easy as it used to be. You can't just look up your nearest clown insurance company and.
Yeah, I mean, and then they still want to know the capacity of the car, and you know, depending on how many of us are fat and thin.
The capacity of the car is measured in pounds, or
we fill the gas with a syringe.
Yeah.
In the car, in people or clowns?
Yeah, exactly. See, that's the situation.
It's 25 cc's, but haul 40 guys.
That's where the gray areas came up, because they know we're also clowns. So that was the
4 and 26.
It seats 1 or 21. Please be more distinct.
Well, there's one seat, however.
No, there are not enough seat belts for all of the clowns.
Definitely not.
Ooh, somebody got arrested for the Florida Lodge fire down in Leesburg, Florida. Sorry, I brought up that blog. Boy, he looks mentally defunct. And he's in Florida, so he's got a pretty greasy mullet. It's good. It's a good pick.
Weird how they always look like you think they look.
Right. His name's Luke Pratt. I mean, there's not a lot out there.
Well, Bruce, it's because sometimes stereotypes have truth.
Actually, yeah, but you're for a reason.
Every once in a while, I just, you know, I want to see a mugshot, and it's like the dude looks like a Ken doll. Like, what? Not one time does a handsome dude go to jail?
Well, no, there was that dude that was like
for a real crime.
No, there was that blue-eyed dude like 5 years ago that was like the hot felon that now has like modeling contracts because of his mugshot. I'm not making it up. It like made the rounds on social media and stuff. Like, I mean, the dude's good looking, but he like, I think he got busted for like stealing a car and punching somebody out or something like that. But
so it wasn't meth. So he still had his facial.
I'm not saying it wasn't meth. I want to say it wasn't meth because he had some pretty defined cheekbones. That's all I'm saying.
He was 10.
So did Johnny Depp. No, wait, still meth. So
exactly. And a little coke and a little everything else.
Jolly Ranchers or gummy bear? What was it he had to have in the courtroom?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. But I don't recall the specifics. But yeah,
just a candy. Some yeah.
I'd like to give a tip of the hat to Tennessee for shaking hands between Prince Hall and
yes,
right. We discussed
AFNAM. So yeah, congratulations. There's still a couple kinks that need to be worked out. I won't pick on them too much because my buddy Brian's a member of the Knights Templar down there and involved in everything else. But
you know, you're actually wearing a hat, John. You should have just tipped your hat.
That takes a little more effort than I'm used to, but I'll do this instead because it's a lot easier for me.
Then clapping?
Tipping the drink? Oh, no, tipping the drink.
But sorry, Tennessee, it's bourbon because I don't Jack Daniels. I use that to clean my engine parts.
So
it is a corrosive material.
I just started a minor warfare that I'm going to pay for in about 5 hot minutes.
I mean, it's got charcoal in it, so
it's got
to be better for cleaning, right?
Sorry, I trust my Kentuckians and if I can't trust my cousins in Ireland with my liquor, I'm going to trust the Kentuckians because once you start getting past that border, woof.
Oh, guys, lot 40. I found a place to buy it on PEI.
Here's I got to find a place to buy it here. We're almost Canada. What the f***?
I know. But you know what? It's $45 a bottle in Nova Scotia. It's $90 a bottle here.
Jesus.
So, because the specialty liquor store. Are you
guys inland in Nova Scotia?
No, it's not part of the PEI Liquor Commission's standard carry. So it's a special store that actually the person has to travel over and get it over there and resell it. PEI
Liquor Commission? Can we go back to that part?
Yeah, let's pick on that particular.
Every province, right? Every province has their own liquor commission.
How do you get that job?
But what is it? Does it decide like what's allowed to be sold?
They set all the liquor laws.
Well, see, the thing of it is, the majority of the liquor stores on PEI are owned by the province. So they choose their inventory, basically, is what it is.
Yeah, all right.
There's very few private liquor stores here.
Bunch of muni.
Fair enough. The hell?
Yeah. If you can't, on PEI, you can't just go into a grocery store and buy beer. As soon as you leave the island, you can. But as far as, like, all the other provinces, you can go buy beer at a lot of the grocery stores and gas stations. Here, it's not legal.
So you have a feeling there's a lot hooch of little tiny monopolies on that island there
from the government.
There are tiny monopolies. Yeah, you're buying your hooch from a government controlled store, basically.
My God, could that be any more opposite from the United States in any way?
And every province and every province has theirs.
But then down there, make shit in bathtubs.
Yeah. Most private liquor sales are at bars and stuff.
You here, we're trying to get governments to like just let people have liquor and your government's selling it.
Yeah, they're making a profit off it. We're taxing.
I mean, I guess if there's a way to make money.
Up in Minnesota, we got tons of municipal liquor stores too that are owned by the city.
And see, the other part is corporations don't pay our government as much money, so they have to make it on their own.
Yeah, we got a bunch of small towns in Minnesota that they have the liquor store in town's the muni. It's a city thing because they have to make their budget.
And like the private breweries, I'm assuming pay quite a large tax because there's taxes on sale of alcohol that are quite high. So they got it. That just goes on.
Sorry, I just found a store within 5 miles of me that actually carries lot 40.
It's closer to you than it is to me. But you know what? It's cheaper for me to go across the bridge and buy it over there than it is to just buy it here.
This except for the gas.
How far away is across the bridge for you, Jamie?
What?
How far away is across the bridge?
The closest Nova Scotia liquor store is probably going to be holy flying
85 Moose Links.
Non-government owned one, by the way.
No, it's still going to be owned by the Nova Scotia government. Mm-hmm.
Better bring your passport. Nova Scotia.
So, no, yeah.
It's like, so crazy to me.
And then it's going to be probably, it's probably going to be an hour and a half drive away.
Jesus, Pepper.
Plus, so that's the gas, so, and just to leave PEI, I got to pay.
You just saying that like that's equatable.
I got to pay $45. I got to pay $45 just to cross the bridge.
That's right.
No, I got to pay $45 to leave.
Okay,
I
don't then need to come back. It's not cheaper over there. It's $45 more.
Because to buy it in Nova Scotia is $45. To buy it here is $90. There's the problem.
But to get to Nova Scotia and back, you have to pay an additional $90.
Right.
No, you only got to pay $45 once just to leave. Right. They don't charge to come on. They just charge to leave.
It only costs you an hour and a half to pay the same price.
Hold on.
There's only an exit.
That's right.
Okay. Mailman or attorney, answer the question. What's 45 plus 45?
90.
$90.
No.
But I can make a nice trip.
You don't have to pay to go in. You only have to pay to get out.
But here's the other kicker to it, guys.
That's a Roche Motel.
Here's the other kicker to it.
That's how you know that island is a real pimp. Like,
but listen, the only liquor store that carries it is in Montague, PEI, which is an hour and 45 minute drive in another direction. So it's an hour and 45 minutes either way, and $45 more either way.
Are the meat shops government owned?
I think. Yeah. No. According to my analysis, you're
Soylent Green going on up there.
Wow.
Yeah. So if I want lot 40,
trade once a week or something.
If I want lot 40, it's going to be
probably not much farther than you, from you than an hour and a half. Shit.
In Jamie's defense, I didn't realize there was any 2 points on PEI that were that far apart. So
I'm basically in the middle. It's an hour and 45 to each point, and Montague is in 1 point, and Tignish is in the other.
So, but the one thing I want to ask though, because I know there's the one bridge in and out.
Yeah. And the ferry. And the ferry. But see, there's the thing. The ferry goes directly to Nova Scotia, but it goes out of Montague.
That might be because he wants to go get
lot. Or Surrey, which is almost there. That's because they wanted the monopoly on the lot 40. They want to make sure you have to go an hour and a half to get the lot 40.
Literally everything is more on that island. Is it double?
Everything. Not necessarily double, but everything is more here for sure. So,
Jamie,
I live in the asshole,
but why do you live there?
I love the place, man. And I live in the 6th most expensive city in the country to live in, period.
I mean...
And our capital city is like the 5th.
But you live in like the top 10% of that?
I've never been there, but I would live there from everything I've seen. Like,
it's a nice... There's certain amenities and things that you just like, you know, when the zombie apocalypse happens. Everything costs
twice as much, though?
No, it's not twice as much. It's really not. Like, I don't know.
You said it was?
Well, twice as much is a bit of exaggeration, but it's more because you've got to truck everything here, right? So there is more of that. There is more cost to get things here. It's got to be trucked a little further to get it here.
I don't know a little bit about logistics.
No, what we need
to do. 2-day shipping with Amazon's like not a thing for you.
No, well, it's threes. It's 3-day minimal.
That's how you know it's out there.
Yeah. What we need to do is we have to have Jamie talk to Ask Producer Marshall to teach him how to build a still. So he can make his own.
I don't need to be
competing with the government, John. They'll just come and bust it.
I'm pretty sure it's a capital crime if you're competing with the government.
It is. There's only a certain amount of booze you can make on your own. That is correct. Same as the only a certain amount of marijuana you can make on your own because you buy all your marijuana from the government.
But the fact that you can make the
booze. Or certain part of it, a lot of it anyway.
In Minnesota, like soon we're going to be able to have our own plants, but finally. But the fact that you can make the booze, you're already a step ahead of where I'm at because you can't even have it's like interstate law. You can't even have a still as like a decoration.
You can make wine and beer here. I don't think you're allowed to make spirits.
We can do wine and beer, but we are no. Cause I started trying to, after my first trip for the, After Lodge first get together, I'm like, I should build a still. And as Marshall said, I can teach you how. And then I looked at the laws and went, huh, felony.
That's a lot of jail time for Estelle.
That's a lot of jail time for the Space to an Irishman. But Jamie, I can get lot. This is going to pay me to tell you this because it's down here, not in Canada, but a 10-minute drive from my house. I can get lot 40 for basically 43 American.
Oh, really?
Yeah, $42.99.
You can tug on my balls, sir.
Well, if we ever like assemble,
how do you feel about breaking shipping laws?
That's right, exactly.
If we assemble up there, I know a buddy in the CBP who might actually help me get it across to you because I'll just say I'm bringing Canadian whiskey home, and he'll probably fall for it.
Once you get it here, it's okay.
I can't imagine there'd be customs issues with bringing Canadian whiskey into Canada.
No.
Would there?
No.
Oh, try bringing Canadian smokes back into Canada.
Yeah, I bet you that'd be rough.
I almost got borescoped.
Tobacco is so regulated. Liquor is too, but.
We're only okay with bootlegging around here if you slide across the hood and jump in the car window before you peel off.
Yeah,
that's true. To be fair, most of the counties where bourbon is made, you can't. I don't think you can take the bourbon back there.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and again, buying you bought lot 40 there and brought it here. It's the same as any other. You can only bring so much back, so much over the border, but you can bring some. There's no, you got to pay tariffs or whatever on. If you get caught. Otherwise, you just leave it and say, oh, I forgot about it. And they just pay you the tariffs and let you go anyway. Because our border service people are nicer than yours. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
No, that's probably very true.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Our customs can be crude.
I was talking with basically a brother-in-law of mine the other day, And talking about my traveling around Canada now that I've been doing it. Like, I walk around every city we go to now. I just walk around in the city and smoking a joint. I don't really care because the worst thing I'm going to get is a fine and they take away what's on my person. It's not even a, like, there's no criminal record. There's nothing. It's a fine and they take away what's on your person. Like,
to be fair, Jamie, when I was a patrol cop, that's pretty much exactly what I did because.
Right. But that's not the written rule. That's not the rule as written, right? So you don't know what you're going to run into.
Yeah, it depends on where you are.
Someone that's going by the rules as written, then at least here your rules as written are a little better.
Yeah, that's true. It
depends on where you are. Like, the rules here have been written by the municipal police that, like, that's how it's going to be.
Right.
Unless they do something stupid, like catch somebody on their way back from a dispensary and then weigh all of their drugs in the containers that they came from the dispensary to meet the weight threshold, and then also show that it's individually wrapped so you clearly were doing this for resale, and then charge them with trafficking so you can arrest them.
Yeah.
Because driving while black's not actually a crime here anymore, so we have to, like, constructively produce it, and that's how we do it.
Right, but you already bought it in resale packaging. But that's if they bought it with resale packaging at a store that sold it legally? That seems awful odd, Harlan.
Well, I always assumed possession of weed was like, you know, a turn signal or something. The cop isn't going to give you a ticket just for it, but if he's looking to give you a ticket for something, that's his in.
Well, that depends on the cop. But yeah, there are a lot of them that'll just take your roach out of the ashtray and, you know, stamp it out as long as you weren't actually high.
When I was a patrol cop, if they were within reasonable distance of my jurisdiction where I could drop somebody off and get back in time without a problem, and by that I mean like within 5-10 minutes most, my thing is I would make them, one, I was the canine guy on the res, so I would find your drugs. you might not think I would, but my dog could like shoot oak door stops in half. If you hit it in the seat, he would eat the seat. I'm going to find your dope. But if it was,
you know, up.
Oh, he would rip the interiors of cars apart. He went through a nearly new Cadillac Escalade and made it look like my kid's diaper when he was two.
Now, when you say dope, I'm going to assume you're being an old person and referring to marijuana.
No, well, I search for everything, but okay. Yeah. So
Amongst today's criminally accused, the only time I ever hear the phrase dope used is not to refer to marijuana anymore.
No. Heroin or similar.
But I haven't heard marijuana called dope by anybody under 40 in a very long time. So that's why I was clarifying.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair.
You have conversations with people under 40 on a regular basis.
Yes, my idiot, you know, 18 to 24-year-old client base
I find that hard now.
Throw that shit in the nearest like drain grate or throw it down the nearest manhole cover or whatever, so Public Works love me because they probably found a few.
So when they do that stuff where they test the wastewater to find like
the
what is it with this town?
Newest report shows our whole population's higher than giraffes' ass. But no, I'd make them walk over and like literally shove their own pot down or throw it down because I wanted to see them throw their own shit down the grate and like bats and whatever. I'm like, all right, go home. Or if they were too high, I'd be like, get in the back of the car. Going to jail? No, I'm dropping your stoner ass off at home so you're not going to drive. Come back here tomorrow and get your car. I won't tow it. Because
you're being nice.
As a cop,
you want one of the good ones.
I happen to like potheads a lot more than I like dealing with drunks. I never had to fight a pothead. I never had to tase a pothead. I never had to nightstick a pothead. I've never had to shoot a pothead. Drunk people? Yes. On all the above points.
Check, 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 and check.
As an Irishman.
Sometimes all at the same time.
I am ambidextrous.
Well, yeah, but that last one was just because he was a separatist. They didn't have much to do with drunk.
No, I didn't need to shoot him after I tased him. But.
And say hi to your mom for me. No, but I was.
I can't remember whether that's the orange ones or the green ones, but either way, it was the other team.
Yes, blue pill. The blue pill. What? But yeah, no, it was. I treated it like your guys up there in Canada. It was like, all right, okay, great, you're stoned. Are you driving? Yes. Don't. Is there anybody in the car that's sober? Maybe. All right, well, put him behind the wheel. I'm going to follow you home, and you're going to go into your basement and hide for the next 12 hours.
12 hours.
Here's a bag of Cheetos. You were a good guy, John.
Well, and then, like, most of the kids, anybody I pulled over for pot was under the age of 22. Like,
oh, that
talent. People over 22 know that you get stoned at your house and watch Cheech and Chong and giggle till you fall asleep. You don't go driving. You pregame and get your Doritos ahead of time.
Get your chopsticks out for your Cheetos, and off you go.
Yeah. It was the young kids who like would get stoned and then realize all of a sudden, hey, we're hungry. Didn't you think about this ahead of time?
Eating Cheetos with chopsticks is that's the big giveaway.
Especially when you're driving, because then. Boy, that
kid. Harlan, how else am I supposed to eat them with the cheese dust that doesn't get on my fingers?
But the chopsticks slow you down.
Hey, but otherwise, cheese dust, Jamie.
Yeah, because when I think of stoners,
I'm not in a hurry.
I think of speed and want to eat more Cheetos fast.
Exactly. So when you pull me over and you don't see any more, no cheese dust on my fingers, I don't look so suspect. No cheese over here, copper.
Yeah, but when I pulled them over and they literally had the pot leaf shaped like air freshener hanging from the rear window.
I'm not really smoking pot, officer. It's the air freshener.
One more headlight out and
either. That's brilliant. Where can I buy those? Do they actually smell like weed? Because I need to give them.
Yes, they do.
I need to include them on the inside. So I've got these.
I don't think the cop's going to give up when you say
folders,
that.
Right, that go to my clients, like when they come, and I want to put those air fresheners like stuck on the inside here with my guidance about how you.
Watch a Better Call Saul, haven't you?
You can just have those pressed in.
You know what, Harlan? I'll look and see if I can find them up here. If I can find them up here, I will ship them to you because that'll be.
Hang this on your car mirror.
Oh my God! Because I don't know if you find that down in your hand depends.
Harlan, to be completely clear, the dog knows the difference between the air freshener and the actual pot.
Oh, I guarantee he would.
Yes, but I don't have to cross examine the dog.
I mean, that's a lot. To be fair, that'd be kind of fun.
I've done it before, but normally I don't have to.
I mean, although
they never put the dog on the stand. I cross examine the dog's like training records and false alerts in the past.
Oh yeah, no, that's how we learned that my dog had to be retired, is because he would start hitting on cars, and then I'd have to pull everybody out and send the dog in there. Well, the dog had a thing apparently for Reese's peanut butter cups, and if you had a package of them, he'd hit on the car to get in there and eat them.
Nice.
That happened twice, and I'm like, we got to get rid of the dog. No, literally, like,
Scooby-Doo.
Where are my cookies?
I am not brave enough to fight a 130-pound Belgian turf over two peanut butter cups.
I mean, to be fair, if a car full of teenagers is driving around with peanut butter cups, there's like a 50% chance there's weed in the car.
Well, probably, but my dog was too busy trying to get the peanut butter, so I was like,
there's also a 50% chance if they're driving around without peanut butter cups. I mean,
yeah. And to be fair, either way, Bruce, when the dog comes out with this big orange thing in his mouth, like sideways going, everybody else was laughing too hard where I couldn't even like search the car because it was like, okay, this is too funny. I got to let you go.
All right, gents, I got to get ready to go and I got to go make
the meanwhile, they get back in the car and pull their giant pound of weed out from under the seat and say, excellent.
No, that happened to somebody else other than
excellent.
Yeah, no.
Distract the dog with the peanut butter cups.
Yeah, no, that's why I retired. Well, that was right before I left the department anyway, so that was their problem. But yeah, no, we had a kid on my first department that was came across that he pulled somebody over for a seatbelt violation, which wasn't a primary offense in Minnesota anymore. Wrote him the ticket and said, hey, you got to leave. You can't, because it turned out he had a suspended license. He's like, all right, walk home. Well, dipshit didn't search the car. He was waiting for a tow. And then finally, like 20 minutes later, just had to look in the car and there's a brick of pot under the seat. And I mean, a brick, like brick.
Pound.
Yeah. But the reason for stopping him wasn't up to metric in Minnesota. So, but then he tried to write his report.
Like the defense attorney's wet dream.
Oh, yeah. that didn't, the chief didn't even let that hit the county attorney's office.
Well, that's disappointing for the defense bar. Because nothing feels like it's the worse the contraband is, the better the suppression motions feel when they're granted, right?
When they're slammed, yeah.
Best day of my career was it was a big haul, a very big haul. And then just for giggles, I turned around and moved to have the property restored to the defendant, which, of course, you know, the judge wasn't as amused about as I was. But
oh, I approve.
Well, I was hoping like I could at least get some of the money.
Your Honor, my client would like his $4,500 returned to him.
Well, you know, I really just wanted the money back, but of course you didn't get that because civil asset forfeiture being what it is, right? The money has to be tried separately from the individual and the money doesn't have civil rights. It's a, yeah.
Yeah, no, well aware. Welcome to what caused the first problem in law enforcement.
So long story short, the disincentive to the police to not kick in doors without a warrant was destroyed because they got to keep the money. And it was a lot of money. Like, you could pay for a couple of cops' annual salaries and benefits with that money.
Yep.
So.
And if he could seize a really cool car and turn it into a squad car. Yep. Nope. Yep.
So the whole thing about disincentivizing warrantless searches is kind of moot, right? Okay. Still felt good, though. Even with all that money being gone.
What the? Sorry, I just pulled up the stuff on HODAP's blog from the Tennessee recognition for Prince Hall. And now we're back to masonry.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have seen that.
Yeah,
so, even though I was on vacation and not covering it like we should have been.
So the Grand Lodge of Louisiana passed joint recognition with Prince Hall of Maryland, but not Louisiana's Grand Lodge. I'm sure there's a nuance there. That might be a thing. I don't know.
Is Louisiana one of those jurisdictions? I've got to get a map out. So with Prince Hall, there's a couple of jurisdictions where Prince Hall isn't recognized by Prince Hall. It's some other named organization that's affiliated with Prince Hall's Grand Lodges.
Yeah, because, I mean, to be fair, once you start getting into the Prince Hall side of things, like into the weeds and stuff, there are, depending on where you're at, there's some...
There's a couple of jurisdictions, at least one, I'm sure, where the Grand Lodge that goes by the label Prince Hall affiliated is not the legitimate Grand Lodge. There's a different one.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think it's Florida, maybe. I've really got to get a map.
There's one where like the PHO is the actual legitimate one, but anywhere else that wouldn't be the legitimate one.
That would be a cool story to get the details on. Why Maryland and not Louisiana?
I don't know. But other than that, it ends up being outside of that weird nuance of Louisiana, the holdouts are West Virginia,
go figure. South
Carolina, my favorite, Mississippi, and of course, Arkansas.
Yep. I figure West Virginia will be the last one, which is so tragically ironic considering that whole state's reason for existing.
Yes.
Which, don't tell that to many West Virginians, because if they don't look at you with a really confused stare, they just get angry.
Yeah, because they won't know what you're talking about, and if you explain it to them, then they're going to just get really pissed.
I had to talk to one guy, because, you know, he's rolling around with Confederate flags flying off the back of his oversized pickup truck in West Virginia.
Right.
You're like, dude, you're a native West Virginian, right? Like you're born here, your family's been here for generations and generations.
Do you know why you're a state? To be fair, Harlan, we have those people up here that roll Confederate flags in Minnesota. They're also the same people that will fly side by side on their truck the Gadsden flag of come and or the come and take it.
Yeah, and the Trump one.
And the thin blue line flag at the same time.
Oh.
And it's like, are you not aware who's going to come and take it?
Yeah.
We have a truck in town here. It's a Dodge that has those two. And I'm just like, and the kid's like maybe 18 now who drives it. And it's just like, oh, you dumb bastard.
John, the next time you're in town, we'll roll by the Fun with Flags house over by Tony.
Oh, good Lord.
I keep promising you that, but you got to come back.
I got to get back down there. I mean.
Yeah. Well, you're coming down for the Widow's Son thing at some point, right?
God, when I got to find out when that is to put it on my.
I think it's in like August.
And the funny part is I'm actually a grand officer for our Widow's Sons up here in Minnesota, but I have no idea about the damn thing because our grand president's kind of dysfunctional.
Sorry, it's a big thing here, so.
Yeah, I know it's apparently.
Ride down and, stop by because we had, we've had a couple other like guests of the show that we've hung out with that because they've been in town just for that Widow's Sons thing. None of them were on the show, though, I don't think. Bruce, you come out, hang out with us when the Widow's Sons were in town?
No.
We ordered all that awful Little Caesars pizza.
It was like for 10 minutes, maybe I was there. I was in one of the pictures.
Well, I feel like they were only there for like an hour or so.
Yeah, well.
They just stopped by our lodge on their way out to wherever that Widow's Sons thing is.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it now because I'm apparently our state sergeant at arms, so I'm our state jurisprudence guy, but we can't get a meeting together for a week at the same time ever.
So I'm going to take a guess that Chuckles is not coming back.
My guess with how bad his power grid apparently is in Connecticut, it probably took shit the bed again.
Oh, that's the other shit.
Did he say something when he left, or did he just...
No, he just kind of vanished. But I just assumed
maybe it had nothing to do with the conversation. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he brought Russia up, didn't he?
No, I did.
He might have something about it in the beginning.
He might have on Slack, but I brought it up on the show. But
no, I
came home from my Michigan trip, and I've been real excited because the fiber guys are like here in my neighborhood laying the fiber lines, and I'm finally gonna have like real internet, like grown up internet.
I thought maybe you were getting muffins or something.
And so. They've been doing their trenching thing, you know, laying all this fiber. Well, when I come home, they passed through my yard, which wasn't done up all nice like everybody else's yard. And there's a water pipe sticking up out of my front yard, spraying water that's just ponded out in the backyard. Like,
nice.
And then across the street, my neighbor's got a pipe sticking up, spraying water the same way, just out of the lawn. And then I look at, there's a traffic cone sitting on the little meter, the porthole that they go through, and like some wire sticking out of it. And then there's like a spindle of wire that's just like spilled out on my neighbor's driveway. I'm like, what the hell happened here?
What the hell?
It turns out they hit the water main somehow.
Twice?
No. So then whatever the repair was that had to be done, like then they severed like the connections to my house and the neighbor's house. And then while they were fixing that, for some reason, they had to have these pipes sticking out that are just always spraying water. I guess it's to keep the flow going so it doesn't backfeed or something.
Wow.
I'm not sure. But it, so I talked to my neighbor. It's been going on for a couple of days. Like this is what happens when I'm out of town. Like,
holy shit.
I'm glad I wasn't here because apparently I wouldn't have had water. So,
step one for micro trenching is finding out where the utilities are.
Well, that's the thing. These lines have been marked for weeks. The spot where the pipes were sticking up, there's blue spray paint in my grass and has been. It's been a big pain in the ass because I had to mow the grass twice.
The water main.
I have to move the little flag and like mow over the spot and then put the little flag back.
Especially in a basement is pretty far down. How deep were they digging?
I don't know.
It seems weird to me.
I don't know what they did. The water truck just came like before I got on the show and did whatever and then got my water turned back on. So they had been working on it, you know, before I got here. But
so there's people that have been without water there for 3-4 days?
I think it was just me and my neighbor. I think everybody else got restored pretty quick, but everybody was out for a little while, like the whole neighborhood. Cause I guess when you rupture the main, there's the boil water and all the other stuff you got to deal with.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they hit it. Like everything's been marked for weeks. And I mean, I the spot again where the pipes were marked, like exactly where that blue line was, where the pipe's sticking up.
I probably just thought it was deeper than it was.
That could be true too, because it is very hilly here, so maybe that's no idea. But that just go figure. That's what I drive home to, because of course I'm checking out. Like, because there was a big storm while I was gone.
Now see, if y'all had been gone for 2 more days, you wouldn't have even noticed it. You'd have come back. Everything would have been fixed and fine.
Yeah, true. But I was looking around for like fallen trees and stuff, because one of the houses on the way into the neighborhood had a giant tree that's like fallen across their back deck and stuff. It's real bad. So I'm looking around before I pull in the driveway, like what kind of damage is there? What the hell? It's just Old Faithful spraying up in the front yard. So,
all right. Yeah, I think it's that time.
It is that time.
I think it's about 15 minutes past that time.
Or, you know, 55. But thanks for listening to episode 315 of the After Lodge podcast. This is After Lodge Harlan. You can find the show notes for this or any previously published episode at www.afterlodge.com. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at After Lodge. Shoot us an email at afterlodge@gmail.com. Hang out with Jamie on IRC at irc.snoonet.org, /Freemasonry. You can hang out with Chuck as the King of No Pants on Reddit. If you find Bruce on Reddit, you win the special prize.
Bonus points.
No one's done it yet. And John is, well.
You can find me on LinkedIn because I'm always working.
You just got to find John. Yeah, doing his corporate cringe on LinkedIn.
Because yeah. John's available for hire as a professional bodyguard. Starting salary is $120,000 a year. He will not go lower.
No.
Is that all? All right.
Well, you know, he drinks on the job. What can I say?
I know a few lodges that need a better
job. I am steady and consistent.
All right. Good night, brothers.
Later.
Bye, John.